Good morning. I'd like to welcome everyone to our worship service this morning. Just a few announcements, and then we'll open up with a word of prayer. We are still, through the 19th is our shoebox ministry. You can see we have a lot already packaged up and all. But if you need shoeboxes or information, it's available as you enter the sanctuary on the back table there. Please help support that if you can, and we'll need them by the 19th so we can get them delivered, I believe, on the 20th, the First Baptist. I believe they are a pickup site again this year. Today at 5 p.m. is Dream Team meeting. If you ask me if you're on the Dream Team, if you want to help plan for the, when it, December the? December 6th, I believe. We'll have more information. We're going to plan for our community meal that we have every year. So if you can be here at 5 o'clock today, we're going to be discussing that, right, Brother Tim, and getting everything in line for that in December for that. So if you can be here for that meeting, it'll be great. Tomorrow night, we'll provide the meal for the ESL class. Meet at First Baptist in Cairo around 7:30 p.m. Hot dogs will be served. Sign-up sheet for items needed on the table as you enter the sanctuary. If you have not brought them, we'll need them by tonight, right, Chan? Yeah, bring them tonight if you have not already brought your items and all that we need for that. Now, once again, I want to encourage you, if you've never participated in that, all you need to do is just show up at the church at First Baptist in Cairo about 7:30. We'll feed about 8:30. And as we saw during our state missions and all, this thing has been going on for 30 years. And it is a wonderful, wonderful ministry. And each church, just a little bit of explanation, each church in our association signs up for 2 Mondays out of the year. So we'll do that the 10th, and then on the 17th, we're going to do it again. So if you miss tomorrow night, guess what? Maybe you can show up and help us on Monday the 17th. There should be a sign-up sheet for items needed on the table for that also that night. Thursday, November the 20th at 7 p.m. is the Men Standing in the Gap meeting. Please mark your calendars. Sunday, November 23rd at 6 p.m. is the Community Thanksgiving service at Wigan Methodist Church. So please plan on attending that. There will be a meal provided after the service that night at the Methodist Church. And mark your calendars for that. And also Wednesday, November the 26th, there will be no prayer meeting. As you know, the 27th is Thanksgiving. And then Sunday, November 30th at the Lord's Supper and Fellowship meal after the morning service. We talked about eating this morning in Sunday school because our scripture in Deuteronomy said what? Told the Israelites to gather together and bring the sacrifices and tithes and offerings, all that. But he also told them to what? To eat. I had never really gleaned that from the scripture before, but he did, to fellowship, to eat, and all. So that's Sunday, November 30th, and then that Sunday night we'll have evening services will be held in the original church. Any other announcements? Okay. Birthdays. I was told Miss Carolyn Johnson had a birthday Tuesday? Last week. So, any others? So, Harold?
All right, Miss Carol. Let's all sing happy birthday to Miss Carol.
Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday, God bless you. Happy birthday to you.
Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, we are just so thankful for this day, Lord. We are thankful for the opportunity to gather here and worship our Lord Jesus Christ today, Lord. And Lord, as we studied in Sunday school this morning, Lord, let us realize the importance of gathering together corporately, Lord, even as a New Testament church, Lord, to gather together, not only to fellowship. We know that's important, Lord, and we've talked about our upcoming meal at the end of the month and all, Lord, but also, Lord, to gather together to worship, Lord, and to truly worship and to be willing and able to do it, Lord. And I just pray this morning, Lord, that we have prepared ourselves to come and worship the Lord Jesus Christ. Lord, I do lift Brother Tim up to you today, Lord. I know that he has prepared for your message to be delivered this morning, Lord. And, Lord, we know that he will do that, Lord. But Lord, I just pray, Lord, that we will just not only listen and be attentive, Lord, and be a part of the worship, Lord, but we also be obedient and faithful. I pray these things in Christ's name. Amen. Here we go.
Well, let's please stand this morning as we sing together, "Since Jesus Came Into My Heart." 441, if you're looking in the hymnal. We'll sing for a second and last verses.
Jesus, Jesus.
it is well with my soul. Take your Bible this morning and turn to Galatians chapter 2. We've been studying for the last few weeks in Galatians, and so we'll try not to leave you totally without information. If you've missed a service or two, but I know this past Wednesday night we looked at the timeline of when Paul went to Jerusalem with the issue of circumcision, because there was a problem in the church where we know that salvation is by faith and faith alone, not by works of the law. And yet, that was not the only problem that happened, as we'll see. We looked at Sunday, Wednesday night, and how Paul, after 14 years, he finally went up and met with Peter and the other apostles, and so as we find out what's going on here on Luke, we're going to look at verses 6 through 10, and I'll do a brief overview of that, and then we're going to jump into our main passage for this morning. But as we read, I want us to think about this as we're reading through, because we're going to find a word in verse 11 that says now. And so when it says now, we're going to find that there's a change that has happened. Something has happened, something's going on, or is about to happen. And so we'll look at that as we get there. Paul has gone to Jerusalem. He's gone. He's taken Titus and Barnabas with him, and everything is good. Paul explained what he'd been preaching, and Peter and James and John, they said what they're preaching, and everybody's in agreement. Paul and Barnabas, Titus were to go to the Gentiles. Peter and the other apostles were to go to the Jews with the same gospel, because it is the gospel that is good news, and that is by faith and faith alone that we are saved. So let's look at what it says here in verse 6 through 10. He said, "But from those who seem to be something, whatever they were, it makes no difference to me. God shows personal favoritism to who? To no man. For those who seem to be something added nothing to me. But on the contrary, when they saw that the gospel for the uncircumcised had been committed to me, as the gospel for the circumcised was to Peter, for he who worked effectively in Peter for the apostleship to the circumcised also worked effectively in me toward the Gentiles. And when James, Cephas, meaning Peter and John, who seemed to be pillars, perceived the grace that had been given to me, they gave me and Barnabas the right hand of fellowship, that we should go to the Gentiles, and they to the circumcised," or we would say the Jews. "They desired only that we should remember the poor, the very thing which I also was eager to do." We pray with me. Heavenly Father, as we have began our reading our passage for this morning, Lord, I pray that you would lead us and guide our hearts and minds to hear. Lord, that we as humans often get caught up in thinking somebody's better or somebody's worse than we are, but Lord, in your sight, we are all the same. Lord, you don't show personal favoritism to anyone, and Lord, we shouldn't do that either. And so, Lord, we often have a problem with that as Christians, Lord. And so, Lord, I pray that you would challenge us in that today. But, Lord, help us to also realize that the gospel, the free gift of salvation, something we don't have to earn, Lord, is offered to every person, no matter their color, no matter their social status, no matter whether they're a Jew or a Gentile. Lord, help us today to realize, Lord, that faith is what saves us. And Lord, it's only by faith in you, Lord, that we can be saved. So Lord, I pray today, Lord, realizing that we are all sinners, Lord, from Adam and Eve all the way up to us today, Lord, we're all saved the same way, and that is by faith in Jesus Christ. So, Lord, have your way, I pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, as I say, God shows no favoritism. There were people who had came in who said that it was okay to believe in Jesus. And I know you're going to say, well, we've heard this over and over again. Well, you're going to keep on hearing it over and over again. Because we're so easy to try to draw from one religion and put it into church. I've actually, in my last church in Moultrie, there was a lady, I hope she's not listening, there was a lady who she was Catholic, and she would come from time to time. But the reason she didn't like our church is because we didn't have a cross in it somewhere. We didn't have all the little angel figurines all over the church like the Catholic church did. She wanted to bring the Catholic church into the Baptist church. And sometimes we do that same thing because we say, well, I like this over here better. They got better music, they got drums, they got electric guitars. So we want to put them in the church. And can I tell you, God has ordained every church. Brother Tim talked about this in our Sunday school class this morning. Every church has a person and a personality, right? Just because we do it this way doesn't mean it's wrong if they don't do it or if they do something different. As long as our primary purpose is to worship our Savior and Lord Jesus Christ, that is what matters. And as long as we stand on the Word of God, amen, that is what matters. Not my preferences and not yours. Because if we get stuck on preferences, we're no longer worshiping Jesus. Who are we worshiping? Us. There's a problem. We looked last week and we saw that in Acts 15, Paul had went up to Jerusalem, met with Peter and them. They had the Jerusalem Council, or Council of Jerusalem, however you want to call it. And they had a discussion because even amongst themselves, there were some who believed it was faith in Jesus Christ alone. But then there was others, even some Pharisees and other church members, who would say, no, it's okay to believe in Jesus, but you got to be circumcised, right? You got to keep all the laws of Moses. That's what they wanted. They wanted to blend salvation, gospel salvation, with the law. And we're going to see that the law profits nothing other than to bring us to Jesus Christ as we go through our study. So we find this is going on. And so as we read down through here, we find that as Peter and Barnabas depart, that Peter, James, and John offer them the right hand of fellowship. Now, let me tell you, this right hand of fellowship is something different than shaking hands, okay? Because usually on a Sunday morning, we could all go around, shake hands with each other. And that's good. That is a greeting. Or if you're going to depart from somebody, you shake hands and leave. This wasn't that, though. The right hand of fellowship meant that they were in partnership together with the gospel. Peter, James, and John were to go to the Jews. Paul and Barnabas were to go to the Gentiles. And you say, well, we all know who the Jews are, right? But you say, well, who are the Gentiles? The Gentiles are us. Unless you can trace your lineage back to Abraham, you can pretty much say that you're a Gentile. Jews were saved by faith. We looked at that in Hebrews chapter 11. By faith, all through, even today, we are saved by faith and faith alone. But something happens. I heard one time of a man who went out bear hunting, and as he was sitting up against a tree one day, he saw this big old bear come walking along, and he raises up his rifle and scope on the bear, and just before he pulled the trigger, the bear spoke real softly to him and said, isn't it better to talk than to shoot? And man listened. He said, well, I guess so. And the bear spoke to him and said, he said, why don't we negotiate a deal? So the man said, okay. So he started a fire and he sat down. The bear sat down beside him and the bear asked him, he said, so what is your request? And the man says, I just want a good, nice coat. The bear said, that's a reasonable request. So the man said, well, what is your request? And he said, I just want a full stomach. Y'all know where this is going, right? The bear walked away from the fire by himself. He had a full stomach, and a man, a hunter, had a fur coat, right? The thing is sometimes compromise can be a very bad thing. Sometimes compromise can kill you. Sometimes, especially spiritually, compromise with the gospel can cause a person to lose their soul, to perish eternally, separated from Jesus, from God, from everything good. You see, that's what happens when you have the gospel and you add anything to it or take away from it, then it's no longer the gospel, right? If I add something to the gospel, then okay, it's okay to believe in Jesus, but you've got to give 10% of your income. What have I been done? I've told a lie. That's heresy. If I say, okay, it's okay to believe in Jesus, but you got to have a certain hairstyle. So you go spend $100. I don't know how much it costs anymore. Guys, it's only about $15, $20. I remember when it was $2 to get a haircut. Some of y'all, now it's $20, right? Take some 5 minutes under done. If I say you have to believe in Jesus and do anything else to be saved, then I've made salvation, the grace of God, of no effect. I've wiped it out. If I say, okay, it is salvation, it's okay to believe in Jesus, but you can, you know, you can believe in Jesus and you can do whatever you want, whenever you want, go however you want, mix whatever you want in it, it doesn't matter. You take away from it. You can believe in Jesus the person, but you don't have to believe that he died for your sins. Right? You can believe in him, but you don't have to believe that he went to the cross in your place. Right? If I take anything away from the gospel of Jesus Christ, then I wipe the grace of salvation away. It's no longer salvation. It's no longer grace because I've taken away or I've added to it. And so the point is simply here, you and I, and I want to be careful here, you and I can say that we believe in Jesus Christ. And I hope that is true of everybody here this morning. We know Jesus Christ. We know who he is. We know what he's done for us. We believe in him. But then if we act in a different way than what we believe, what do we call that? Being a what? Hypocrite. That's what's happening. If it's not happening in verse 11 down through 16. Because of all people, Paul has to confront Peter, who is one of the leaders in the church, remember? Because even when Jesus met Peter on the shore, he tells him to feed his sheep, to tend his sheep. He, in a way, said, Peter, you're going to be the leader of these guys, and I want you to be bold, and I want you not just to feed the grown sheep, but I want you to feed the lambs too, the little ones. I want you to teach them all. But Paul who used to persecute the church and try to wipe out Christianity, has been called of God to go with a gospel message to the Gentiles. And as he's doing so, they've just agreed, as we've read here, verses 6 through 10, that they were offered the right hand of fellowship. We're in the partnership together. You go to the Gentiles and we'll go to the Jews. You share the gospel with them. It's the same gospel we're preaching to the Jews. You go your way and we're going to go our way. And we're going to intersect in between from time to time. But we're in this gospel ministry together. Now, let's look at verse 11 and read on down through 16. It says, now, some of your translations say, but either way, it doesn't matter. What matters is there's a transition. There's something that had happened, and now something's changing. Something's about to happen or is happening. Now, when Peter had come to Antioch, I withstood him to his face because he was to be blamed. Some of your translations say he was to be condemned, or he stood condemned because he was guilty of doing something, because he was to be blamed. For before certain men came from James, he would eat with the Gentiles. But when these people from James came, he withdrew and separated himself, fearing those who were of the circumcision, meaning the Jews. And the rest of the Jews also played the hypocrite with him, so that even Barnabas was carried away with their hypocrisy. But when I saw that they were not straightforward about the truth of the gospel, I said to Peter before them all, if you, being a Jew, live in the manner of the Gentiles and not as of the Jews, why do you compel the Gentiles to live as Jews? We who are Jews by nature and not sinners of the Gentiles, knowing that a man is not justified by what? Works of the law, but by what? Faith in Jesus Christ. Even we have believed in Christ Jesus that we might be justified by what? In who? And not by the works of the law. For by the works of the law, no flesh shall be justified. Let's go back to verse 11, if you will, Ashton. You see, we can often find ourselves compromising because we say we believe one thing, but then we're often guilty of living it out differently. You see, Peter had just agreed that salvation is by faith, right? He was going to go to the Jews, and Paul was going to go to the Gentiles, and we worked it all out, same gospel, by salvation, by faith in Jesus Christ and him alone. But there was a group of people that came. We saw that in Acts 15, and as we looked earlier in Galatians chapter 1, there's a group of people that's always going to come. And I know I've said this before, but every time God wants to do something, guess what Satan's going to do? He's going to come along and try to offer a counterfeit, right? Just like the parable of the wheat and tares and of the sheep and the goats. They're going to be there because every time God begins to do something, Satan's going to try to put something in its path to take you and make you take your attention off of Jesus and what he has to look at somehow, because we think that we have to earn somebody's love. Right? And if we blow it, you know, I said this in our prayer with the men this morning before church. I'm amazed that God could even love me. Right? Y'all probably think the same thing about my wife. I'm amazed she can love me. Yeah. But the point I'm trying to make is simply this. Every one of our earthly interactions, we do it because we want to please somebody, because we think we have to earn their love. It's something that we have to do to get their approval, and we think that's the same way with God. But we often don't realize how amazing the grace of God is, that He could love us, no strings attached. And He just simply wants us to love Him in return. Because the more you know of God, you can't help but love Him, because He first loved us. And we realize this, and as we realize that sometimes we get caught up in compromising the truth of the gospel, we begin to live differently than what God has called us to live. We begin to compromise in what we believe and what we stand on. You see, Paul and Peter had a head-on collision, so to speak. We realized, as I've already mentioned, the Council of Jerusalem was based on the issue of circumcision, that somehow they were trying to make the Gentiles become Jews when the Jews themselves couldn't carry out the law, and they were trying to require that the Gentiles do the same thing. But now we find a different subject here in chapter 2, because as Peter, he's been eating with the Gentiles, right? He's been eating with them. They invite him to a birthday party, and guess what? Peter shows up. He come to a Sunday dinner. Well, Saturday dinner, Sabbath dinner. They'd invite Peter to come, and guess what? Peter show up. He'd eat with them, eat whatever they fixed, put before him. I'm sure he was careful not to eat things that had blood or things that had been offered to idols or strangled. But he ate with them. He fellowshiped with them. But there's a group of people that come in, and they see that Peter is eating with the Jews, and they don't like it. Now, it doesn't tell us that anything was said, but probably something was said. Their eyes were cast over there, looking down on all these Gentiles who were, they're believers, they're saved, because they've been saved by faith. Peter's been eating with them, everything's good. But then these other people show up. And all of a sudden, it says that Peter withdrew from that. That literally means it's like a military term. It means to withdraw the troops. He withdrew from it. He slowly backed. Instead of running out the door, he slipped out the back door. Right? It wasn't something that all of a sudden happened. But here, Peter is trying not to offend the Jews, right? He's trying not to offend them, but at the same time, he's trying not to offend them. Who is he offending? The Gentile believers. He's offending them because, they're looking around like, as Peter said, we're all the same, but it must not be true, because look at how he's treating us now. We must not truly be saved, because Peter's—he's walked away from us. He slipped out the back door to his Jewish buddies, because maybe they have something we don't have. Do you see how that can harm the gospel? Because we show favoritism. Paul's already talked about it. God shows no personal favoritism. It doesn't matter who you're born to. It doesn't matter your social standing. It doesn't matter your color. God's not impressed because He made you, right? He knows who you are, and He loves you. And so the issue here is now Peter is saying that salvation is by believing in Jesus Christ and Christ alone. But in his actions, somehow he's saying to the Gentiles, you're not good enough. You don't have what it takes. You don't have everything you need. You need to practice more becoming a Jew, and then I'll sit with you again. How many? Now, we might say, well, we wouldn't do that to anybody. Really? in church, so I'm going to put this out. Have you ever been sitting somewhere, maybe it was at a fellowship table in a fellowship hall, or maybe on the church pew, and somebody came beside and sat down beside you and you really didn't want them sitting there? Come on. You know it's true. And it's probably true for every single person here that somehow they weren't good enough, that somehow they didn't do enough, or they weren't pleasing enough to you, or maybe they said the wrong thing, did the wrong thing, looked the wrong thing. Whatever it may be, and whatever we look at, like they're not worthy of the gospel. Right? But if God shows no personal favoritism, then why do we? You see, Paul began to withdraw from the Gentile believers. But here's the problem. It would have been bad enough if it was only Peter, and I think I said that wrong there. Peter withdrew. It would have been bad enough if it was Peter by himself. But remember, Peter had a large circle of influence. Right? Every one of you is a leader, whether you want to be or not. You say, I'm not a person. I don't like to be in front of people. Guess what? I don't either. I've never liked being in front of people. Never, ever. But we're all leaders. We're leaders in our families. We're leaders in our workplace. We're leaders with our friends and family and our church. And what normally happens is that one person messes up and heads the wrong direction. Guess what happens? Other people follow. Peter, and this is true in this passage, Peter had the wrong message. He believed the right thing, but his actions were wrong. And because of what he did, guess who else he led to do the wrong thing? Barnabas, right? That's probably the most telling, because Barnabas was really a leader within the church. He was strong in his faith, and everybody knew Barnabas. And Barnabas was carried away. But not only was Peter living out the wrong faith, he persuaded it by his actions to lead Barnabas to do the wrong thing. And then it says, and the other Jews with him. The other Jews. So here you've got a situation. They've just agreed. We're preaching the same thing. You've got the gospel. We got the gospel. You go here and we'll go there. We're all good. Shake hands. Let's go. We're all on the same team. But could you imagine the Georgia Bulldogs playing yesterday? Could you imagine that they're in the middle of the game at halftime? They say, okay, we're not going to play for Georgia. We're going to go, who'd y'all play yesterday? I know y'all blew them out. Mississippi State. We're going to trade sides. We're going to go over here because we don't like y'all anymore. Y'all don't believe the right things. Could you imagine that happening? But doesn't it happen in churches? Doesn't it happen here? Peter's to blame. He stood condemned. It was his fault because he said, I believe, and he did believe, but he got caught up doing the wrong thing. He got caught up practicing his life different than what he claimed to believe. So now you got chaos. You have confusion. Because everybody's looking at one another thinking, I thought it was by grace. Through faith. And yet, why is he treating us different than everybody else? Why is he only associating with these group of people and not us? Do they have something we don't have? imagine how they felt. Paul though, he wasn't going to remain quiet on this, was he? He saw that Peter was wrong in how he was acting. He believed the right thing, but he lived the wrong way. And yet Paul, he's saying, listen, this is a church action, okay? This is a church action. I've had to deal with this on a couple of occasions in church where you got to stand on the word of God regardless. Some people don't like what you do, and guess what? Some people aren't going to like what you do. That's all part of it. In church, if I have done something to offend you personally, and I know about it, guess what the Bible tells me to do, Matthew 18. I'm to go to you one-on-one and try to work it out. Forgive me, I did you wrong, I'm sorry. You know, for whatever reason, work it out, forgive. If that doesn't work, then I'm supposed to get two or three more other, because by the mouth of two or three others, the truth's going to be established, right? That way there's no he said, she said, right? The truth can be established that, you know, we're trying to work it out. If that doesn't work, then what is supposed to happen? Bring before the church, right? Reconcile. Because that's the main goal, to be reconciled to one another. Because if personal relationships can't be in unity, how can the whole church be in unity? It's important, because if you get a bag of potatoes and a bag of potatoes, guess what's going to happen to the whole thing? They're all going to be rotten before long. So you got to work it out. You got to reconcile. But there's another issue that has to be dealt with, and it's the issue that was dealt with here at Antioch, because Peter was preaching the right thing, but he was living the wrong way. And by that, he affected not himself, not one other person, not two other people. He affected the whole church. And so what did Paul do? He called him out. Did he call him off to the side and get on to him? He did it right there in front of everybody. Why? Because this was an issue that had to be settled before the whole church. Because false doctrine, whether it's by words or by actions, leads everybody astray. And that's what Paul was calling Peter out for. Listen, you preach the right thing, you teach the right thing, but you're not living it out, and you're leading others astray, and you're making the gospel of Jesus Christ of no effect. So what are those things we need to watch out for? What are three obstructions that cause us to live contrary to our faith? Number one is fear. It's fear. We are to speak the gospel. We're to tell the gospel to others. But it's just important to live the gospel. Okay? Sometimes, Paul was afraid. Or Peter was afraid. Remember what it says? When some of the other Jews came in, he was afraid. He withdrew from the Gentiles because he was, and that doesn't tell us why he was afraid. Maybe he thought it was going to be made fun of or ridiculed, but why do we not sometimes share the gospel with other people? Is it because we're afraid of being ridiculed or shunned? That we're not going to fit in with our group if we tell them the truth? You see, 2 Timothy 1:7 says, "For God has not given us a spirit of fear, but but of power and of love and of a sound mind. Or self-discipline, as some translations say. If you're afraid, guess who's giving you that power? It's not God. It's not coming from Him, so it's coming from you or coming from Satan, who's trying to distract you. My Bible is not on the screen. In Romans 8:31, it says, but if God is for us, who can be what? Yes. Who can be against us? But sometimes we let fear overtake us, and it causes an obstruction of us living out our faith. Because we're afraid. We're afraid what others may say, what they may do. But we need courage. We need courage to live out our faith and actually do what we say we believe. Second thing is hypocrisy. I've already mentioned this in this passage, but our lives, if we speak it, we should live it. Right? It should go hand in hand. It's like two different sides of the same coin. It's one coin, but faith and actions. There's old saying, if you're going to talk the talk, finish it. Walk the walk, right? If you're going to talk it, walk it. If you're going to preach it, do it, right? If you're going to teach it, do it. Don't just tell me, show me. That should be our life example. Because here's a lot of the obstruction there. We want to conform to the world. But Romans tells, do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by what? The renewing of our minds. We need to realize that, I can conform all kinds of different things. I can be in unity or uniformity, however you want to describe it, because everybody else is going this direction. How many of y'all's parents said, if all your friends, if they go jump off a bridge, are you gonna do the same? Y'all remember? Here's the thing, we tend to want to fit in, conform to everybody else. That's a human desire that we have, because we want friends, we want to be accepted. But just because you conform to somebody, and just because you're in unity with people or uniformity, you can be heading down the wrong road. Right? Just because all the people are going in one direction don't mean that they're going the right place. When my grandmother died down in Florida, we went to the funeral in about 13 years ago now, I guess. But yeah, we're going down there and we leave the funeral home. We're supposed to go out to this little cemetery out in the middle of nowhere, Florida. And so we're going to where we're falling behind my mom and dad. And they're driving. It's only supposed to take about 30 minutes. We've been driving 2.5 hours. Might not have been that long, but it was a long, long time. But we're in a totally, I don't know where we were, The place was nowhere, but we're in nowhere. We don't know where we are. And so my uncle found a couple of my mom, and we got straightened out. Just because I'm following the crowd don't make it right, don't mean I'm doing the right thing. What we need to conform our lives to and be in unity with is the Word of God, the truth of God's Word, and especially when it comes to the truth of the gospel of grace, the truth that God is everything I need and has paid everything I need to have my sins forgiven through faith. The third thing that we'll close with is legalism. Legalism. Passage this morning, Sunday school, do not add to, don't take away from, right? Don't add to it, don't take away from it. Legalism. We get so caught up. So, salvation is by faith, but then you got to do all these things. You got to be baptized. You got to get your name on the church roll. Right? Now, if we're saved, we should desire to be baptized. I think that's an ordinance that Jesus followed, and we should too. But can I tell you, the thief on the cross was not baptized. And what did Jesus tell him? Today you will be with me where? In paradise. I know. And we said, well, you got to be a member of the church. I think that's a good thing. I think it's a good thing. I think God's called us to be in corporate worship and prayer together, and we do that through the local church. But nowhere in my Bible does it tell me to join Wigan Baptist Church or any other church. I know some of y'all might get mad, right? If you find it, show it to me, okay? Should we belong to a church? Yes. Should we be in unity with that church? Yes. Should we practice our belief in that church and through that church? Yes. But salvation is not a checklist. It is by faith in Jesus Christ and Him alone. It is by faith, but not compulsion. If Peter and his actions were, okay, you're saved, but you got to become a Jew. You got to live like a Jew, keep all the dietary laws like the Jews, practice the Jew, being a Jew. And Paul calls him out. If you live like a Gentile, because that's what he'd been doing. He'd been living in the freedom of salvation, the freedom of grace. He's been living out his life, eating with the Gentiles, fellowshipping with them. When the Jews come in, he walks away. If Peter was requiring them to become a Jew, but he himself was living as a Gentile, right? What Paul said. Why? Why? We have freedom in Christ to live out who he has called us to be. Because in Christ, there is no Jew or Greek. There is no Gentile. There is no slave or free. We are in Christ because of what Christ has done. He has set us free from the requirements of the law. But let me tell you, salvation by grace is not a license to do whatever we want to do either. Okay? Because a lot of times we have the attitude, well, God will forgive me anyhow. In the Old Testament, you can go back and check. In the Old Testament, I have never found a sacrifice for a sin that was intentional. And I know in the New Testament, we're covered by the grace of God and every sin is forgiven. But intentional sin, there was no way to undo it. There was no way for it to be I can't remember the word. Anyhow, there's no way to do it. We can't compel people to do things because there again, that's legalism. But at the same time, we have to be careful what we practice. Why is that important? Well, in 1 Corinthians chapter 8, verse 9, I think it is, Paul says, do not put a stumbling block front of those who are weak. When we live the wrong way, hear me carefully, when we live in a way that is different than what we say we believe, how is that affecting those who are weaker in their faith? isn't that putting a stumbling block in front of them? Yes. We're not to do that. You see, Paul was in effect calling Peter to get it right again, to go back to the gospel. And that's what we need to do as well. We need to not only believe the gospel, but we must live it out. Our kids are watching us, our grandkids, great-grandkids, if you have them, they're watching you, your friends, your neighbors. You say you believe in Jesus. How's that changed how you live? If we're not careful, we can deny in practice what we say we believe. We need to be careful not to get caught up, and we need to avoid the obstructions that come in our life from living out the faith we claim to believe. We can't be afraid. Can't be afraid to share our faith, to speak it. We can't be afraid to live it out. But we also must not be hypocritical. You know, Jesus talked about the man who had a splinter in his eye. Y'all remember that? But Jesus said, before you go trying to pull out that splinter, you better get the two before it had your own eye. See, we got to be careful in how we live. Because in our living out our freedom in Christ, we can cause others to stumble. We can't be legalistic and fall into a trap of making rules that everybody has to follow in order to be saved. You've heard it, I've heard it. If you're really a Christian, you won't do these things. If you're really a Christian, you will do these things. Right? Y'all heard them, I've heard them. By faith in Jesus Christ, we are going to be changed. We're going to not do things we used to do, and we're going to do things we didn't used to do, right? He's going to change. He's going to change our priorities. He's going to change our lives to match up with His. But salvation has always been through faith. And that is the same thing that saves us today. Let me ask you that. Are you saved? You know it for sure. If I was to give you a scale between 1 and 10, 1 meaning that you are totally unsure of your salvation, and 10 being I'm 100% sure, what would you have to say today? Have you trusted Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior? Are you putting the basis of your salvation, of what you got right and what you got wrong? God doesn't grade on that curve, right? God grades on the curve of His Son, Jesus Christ, and the blood that was shed for us. If you can't say that you're 100% sure that you're a 10, when the music starts playing, will you come talk to me? We stand with me. Heavenly Father, as we end this service today, Lord, that You have spoken to our hearts. Lord, we know in our hearts and minds that salvation is by faith, of faith alone. And Lord, I pray that that is true for everyone here, that we know beyond a shadow of a doubt that if we died right now here in this service this morning before we leave the parking lot, Lord, that we know that we would go to heaven to be with You forever. God, I praise You for that. Thank You for that. Maybe there's one here today who would have to say, I'm not sure. I don't know that I would go to heaven. I know I'm a sinner, and I know I need a Savior. And Lord, I pray that you just give that person the boldness, Lord, to just come take me by the hand and say, Brother Tim, I need to know, I need to be sure. I'll do my very best to show them, Lord, how they can have a personal relationship with you. But Lord, I believe you've also spoken to us who know we're saved. Lord, that we've gotten caught up in the lies of Satan, trying to add to or take away from the gospel. And Lord, any time we do that, we make the gospel of no effect, because we've changed the gospel. We no longer make it good news. We make it about what we do or have done or haven't done. And Lord, our only hope is you through faith. So Lord, if we've been trying to conform ourselves to anything different, Lord, I pray that you would call us out through the Holy Spirit, just as Paul did to Peter. Lord, that we need to be corrected. Lord, I pray today that we would not be people of fear, that we would not be hypocritical, and Lord, that we wouldn't be legalists, Lord, in keeping people from you. Lord, I pray that you would show us the truth. Show us the truth through your word, through your love, through your grace and mercy. Lord, help us now to be obedient. I pray in Jesus' name. Amen.